Welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks, the podcast featuring creative entrepreneurs in the Basel area over the best cups of coffee in the best cafes. Good morning, afternoon, Yasmin.
Okay.
You are a singer, musician, vocal coach, many other things. We just rehearsed, but I forgot.
Composer, honey.
Composer, composer. We're here at Avant-Goût. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for picking this place. It's so cute.
It is so cute, no? I love
it. Good. Yeah, welcome. So you want to give details about what I just said?
What do you mean about the Avant-Goût or about
that? Yeah, what did we have? Like a cappuccino and
an amazing pain au chocolat.
Yeah, and the owner is French. Anyway, so that was enough for the advertising of this place. Yeah, so tell us what you do.
So I have, like, let's say, four main projects. So on one hand, I'm a vocal coach.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own little singing school that is called Sing Out Loud! Exclamation mark, very important. There I teach one-to-one lessons and I give workshops on complete vocal technique, which is a technique that is invented by Catherine Sutton from Denmark, and I studied that kind of as a master after my jazz and pop studies here in Switzerland. And I also have two little choirs. One is only girls and the other one is mixed. And so that's one thing. That's my main job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not main job, but it's like where I get a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Or I get money. I mean, a lot, I don't know. But and then I'm a singer. I'm a musician. I have two bands. I have my own project, which I release under my name, Yasmin Albash. And I have my band Kalimi, which started as a project from the Kaserne Basel, where me and Lane Ferraj, who's a rapper from here, were invited to collaborate with two Palestinian artists. I'm half Palestinian, so I was very happy to, because we traveled there to Ramallah, that's in the West Bank, crazy city, so crazy city. And there we met musicians, and two of them did the project with us, and then we just fell in love working together, and now we are a band and touring the world. So that's this. And then what else do I do? I have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is called Sijada Sessions. I started this last year in kind of October, was the first release. There I invite female artists to collaborate for one song.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually do a song of a girl, of the girl that I invite, and do kind of a cover of her song. We're gonna play it with new instruments or with loop stations and stuff, because I work a lot in electronic music. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of also producing with Ableton Live, or I have a loop station. I love synthesizers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the Sijada Sessions. And one more thing, I also work sometimes for Helvetia Rockt, which is an organization from Switzerland to empower female artists, musicians.
Mm.
So you can see that this topic became very important for me. And
And where does it come from, this passion for? I mean, it's a movement in the world. You can see it right now.
I think I was really inspired by the movement, and also, like, you know, very long time I thought, okay, I don't have a problem. I don't feel like I can't, don't have the same rights.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I started to think about it and to reflect on my life, I understood, oh yeah, man, there are some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And
also in the music industry mostly, or in general?
In general, but of course also in the music industry. There was also, like, a study from the Rockförderverein Basel, RFA Basel. They did, like, a study on how many women are in the Basel music scene, and it was only 10%.
Mm.
But the ones who have female musicians inside are more successful, just saying. And then, of course, with the work with Kalimi, which is only a female band, first time I ever did that, and it felt so, so nice and beautiful. Opened the world for me, I have to say. And all these things came together, and then I was like, okay, come on, let's do something, because there were so many articles and so many discussions about on this topic. So yeah, I decided, okay, I'm gonna give a musical answer, and just invite female artists for a while, and then let's see, maybe one day I can open it to male, because I of course also love to work with boys, yeah? But yeah. So it's very also very inspiring for me,
mm-hmm.
and also in this whole process of getting aware of my life and of my position as a woman, I also saw that I don't really have a lot of idols, you know, or like role models, you know, like
female,
yeah, like okay. Who would inspire me? And then I looked around, and it's basically musicians in my age, or a bit older, a bit younger. But,
mm-hmm.
And then I invited those.
Like on your YouTube channel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you name a couple?
Well, there is the first guest was Johanna Adairi. She's from Zurich. I admired her all the time because she's really, really great in electronics, and yeah, she's a crazy show, and she's super cool. I'm very happy she's going to play now in my live band.
Mm-hmm.
And I know her from a common friend, a very good friend. Yeah. And who else? I mean, there are so many. I also like a lot I just explained the ones that are in my YouTube channel, just to advertise a bit. So there's Jennifer Jans, and she's from Basel. Her band is Bleu Roi.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen, she does a lot of things also for the music scene. You know, she organizes the Mitten in der Woche, which is a... once a month or once every 2 months, where they invite, they create an evening for the Basel music scene, and everybody can go. And she's doing this. She works for M4 Music, and yeah, and she's a great, great musician. For example, I gave a beat making workshop with her together in for this Helvetia Rock, for this Verein.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
So her and the one from New York, who was here not so long ago.
Any Good Child.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's great too. I mean, she's an amazing singer, amazing musician, super cool. Yeah.
She was at Influss last summer.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's so cool. I saw that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're really cool.
And what male artist inspires you?
Right now, or for a long time, is Sohn.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing artist. He does electronic music. He works a lot with samples of his voice also. That inspires me a lot for my own music.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love his albums.
Yeah. I'll check him out.
Yeah, check him out.
And what did you do? Were you always doing this teaching or singing? Or what did you do before that? If you were.
I was in another life, you know.
We're not talking about that.
Okay. Okay. You can cut this out later. No, no. So music, I always did music, mm-hmm. since I was a kid.
So you studied that at university?
Yeah, but first I did I was educated to be a primary school teacher.
Ah.
Because my father wouldn't allow me to study music. He really didn't like that, you know. He grew up in a refugee camp and is a doctor now, so he did really the American dream thing, and of course for him it was very difficult to accept that I want to do music, so that was a bit of a topic. So I did first the Lehrerseminar in Kreuzlingen, because I grew up at the
Constance
Lake of Constance, yeah. But the Swiss side, and then I teached school for a while, and then I started to study with 24, which is kind of late. You go with 19, 20, no?
Yeah.
So, and then I studied 5 years in Winterthur, jazz and pop music, and then after that I had a year break, and then I went to Copenhagen for 3 years.
Yeah.
I didn't live there, but I went like 6 times per year there,
yeah.
to study. And I think in my studies in Switzerland, I started to teach in my bedroom. So I would have like students, and they would come and we learned stuff. And so this grew. And then I remember like the first, and I had like a little studio, a really beautiful studio in St. Johann. And there we did the first Christmas singing. So I had these friends, really good friends who had a choir. And I just invited them, and I had some of my students singing also. And then it was a really tiny room, and we had a friend of mine was playing the piano, and the people were singing, and it was really cool. And so I do this Christmas singing every year, and I'm really bad in counting the years, but it's probably 10 years or something.
Oh, well. Yeah. With your choir now.
Well, I do it with choirs, but I also do it with the solo singers who come to me, so they have like a chance just to be on stage once a year.
Yeah. And so how did you feel when you were teaching kids? Were you thinking of still being a singer? Were you miserable? Were you accepting that you were just doing something else?
No, I didn't like it. Well, I liked it. I think I'm a teacher. I like teaching. But not only. So I suffered a lot, and I felt I was not on the wrong place. I was on the wrong place. And the relation to music was very, very difficult because, as I mentioned, it was not something that was accepted, really accepted professionally in my house. So it was a really struggle for me to like, okay, do I want to be a singer? Am I a singer? I was doubting so hard. I was really, really lost in this teenager time and being a young adult. But I always missed it. And as soon as I could do music and write a new song with people and be in the studio, it was always like amazing for me.
So you were singing on the side, kind of, when you were
I had bands.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Yeah.
So you've been doing it all the time, but
but not professionally, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what changed when you decided, no, now I'm gonna study music? What changed in your head?
It was still a path of doing both at the same time because I had to finance myself. Mm-hmm. So I was still 50% working and then studying. So it was a very busy time. And I didn't feel that I had enough time to really dive into music, you know. I think it really cost me a lot of energy to do both. Then really like took the decision to really be an artist. I think it came much later. You know, it came, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, you know.
Like, first teaching and then...
Yeah, by teaching or like also like knowing your voice and then, okay, I'm a singer. And then I was gigging, you know. I was like in a lot of jazz. I did a lot of jazz music, but I always did also electronic music, like from the beginning. But still also was like discovering because I learned so much. And okay, do I want to be a jazz singer? Maybe not. I didn't really feel it then. Or I grew out of it and towards what I do today. And then starts the process, I'm really an artist because I really think about what I write. I really try to make a story out of it, you know, like I want to share something with content and I'm not just a singer anymore. For me, an artist is somebody who, there's a whole world that you create. And I think I really had to build up all this for a long time until I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. I was ready. So it was a bit working on yourself too? No, getting to know who
a lot.
You are.
Always. No, I didn't. Many, many working on myself, yeah. No, there is. What's a huge. Or it still is, it's a process,
yeah,
always.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing, no? When you work, or when you're an artist, I guess, or when you're an entrepreneur, you have to find out. What is it? Mm-hmm. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Even though who I am is something else, but yeah. What do I like? What are my strengths?
Exactly.
What are my weaknesses?
Of course, and also being an artist means you communicate with the outside. That means you challenge all the time. Yeah, you're challenged all the time. There's always something you've never did before, you know, or a city you've never traveled. There's all the time new people. You always need to, and that's a lot of, or success that is not coming, you know, and you have to deal with it or not how you imagine it. And or people that you work with that you grow out of the relationship and you have to go and look for new people. I don't know, that's like... Yeah, I guess it's life, no? It happens to everybody. So, I had to reflect a lot and to...
constantly reassess what do I want
exactly.
to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, constantly.
And it's stressful a little bit sometimes.
It's stressful, but it's also really beautiful because I can feel that I'm the older I'm getting, the more happy I am. And I'm really doing what I want, you know. I just had the conversation this morning with a student because it's like, okay, if you want to be a musician, you have to be, somebody has to discover you when you're really young and then you can make a career. And it's like, no. Well, this is what we see and happening a lot. But in the end, for me, the truth is the older I'm getting, I think it's more worth to come to a show to me, honestly, because I really have something to tell you now. I didn't have that 10 years ago. Maybe I had a beautiful voice, you know, but now there's more to it, so...
And you look relaxed, or I don't know how you were 10 years ago, but like, it doesn't matter. You don't care too much of the outcome? Is it possible?
No, I do definitely care. No, I'm going to be very honest about that. I do care, and I suffer a lot from it, because I would wish, that I would be further, you know? Very often, or further means, like, I could play more shows, and I would have a great audience who listens to my music. I totally would love that, you know. But then still I know, okay, right now I have my album coming in September and I'm very, very happy about the music. And I think it's also a bit of a new start for me. And I just love so much what I do now. I'm really, really happy about it. And I still listen to my music regularly, and I'm like, wow, it's really nice, you know. That's so beautiful. So for me, it makes me so happy that I think I'm also ready to. It is what it is, and then maybe there's people who love it, which I would be so happy about. But in the end, I for me, it's also the process I did with the whole album work was so beneficial for me. I grew so much that it gave me really calm and.
Is it the one that you come back to your roots more?
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yes.
Or you want to wait until it's out?
No, we can talk about it. Yeah. So, as I mentioned before, my father is Palestinian and his family flew 84 when the Israeli state was built. And then they left, they went to Jordan and grew up there. And so my father was never back in Palestine, for example, until last September. We were there together. And I didn't have a good relationship to the Arabic side. It was difficult with my dad and, you know, like the cultural differences and stuff. And so I only went to Jordan when I was a child and then never again. I cannot speak the language, unfortunately. And then some years ago, it started to, let's check this out. Because, you know, I just kind of... There was an interest awakened. And then I actually wrote the paper to apply for money for an album to, like, discover my roots, Palestinian roots. And then in this process, I talked to my cousin who lives in America. And she said, you know, forget Jordan, come to Palestine. And I was like, it's true, we come from Palestine. And then, and then 1 month later, I gave the papers, but somewhere else, not Basel. And then comes Sandro from the Caserne, he's the musical head of it, and asked me, hey, you want to come to Palestine for a project? And I was like, do you know that I'm Palestinian? He said, no. Do you know that I just applied for this, but not with you? And he said, no. And it was really like, okay, weird. So the whole Kalemi thing happened, and I could finally travel to Palestine, which was great for me because I could connect to the music scene, which are people that have shared the same interests and also culture than me, more or less, you know. So it was really great reconnecting to this world. And traveling there, so I did a meditation before I went there, a guided meditation, and it was about, okay, what's happening if I go to Palestine? And I saw my body, like, in gold and red, like shining, like, a lot, and with a lot of joy and a lot of strength. And so the album is called Gold now, because I traveled there and I really had this experience. It really it gave something back to me. It was also like, you know, having, like, Swissad and Eric are making peace, because I'm both And in my with my parents, I couldn't see that very often, that the Swiss and the Arabs are really happy together. So talking about my parents. Yeah. So that was extremely beautiful for me.
And so you wrote the album when you came back?
It was a process of 2 years, I would say. There was the first song. I think I wrote it before I went to Palestine. Because I felt a very strong connection to my grandparents, that they already passed away. Because I talked to my aunt and she told me about the story, and when my grandfather used to have a lot of land, a lot of oranges and stuff, and they lost all of it and they could never go back. So they died in a country that they didn't want to be. And that there I wrote the first song that is called I Raise My Voice For You. So that was like the initial the start. And then, yeah, it was a process, I don't know. There was like, you know, something happens and then you sit down and write something else. Or
so tell us about the writing process or the creative process, how it happens.
Yeah, so when I write, it's really hard for me to write lyrics. I work a lot with instruments, like it can be a bass that I think it's super inspiring, or it's a beat that I love, and then I just start to layer, you know, I just, oh, okay, I hear this and I do that, or I start with a vocal loop and create a kind of a vocal carpet that I put stuff on. So that's one way of working. And then I also started to produce myself. I didn't produce before. I was really scared of electronic, like of software, you know, like it's complicated, I don't get it, I'm a girl. But now I start to do that and lose the fear. It's really cool. But there's still a lot of work to that. And then the other thing, when I write, as I mentioned before, meditation is very, yeah, it's a inspiration for me. Or usually for example, last year there was this moment when I was recovering from a surgery. And then I went a week later in the studio and I had a, you know, then I kind of just close my eyes and then there is a movie inside me and I just watch. So there was this moment when I was standing in my inner world at the dark sea. And so I take kind of, I'm super alone, no, it's really, really, really quiet, and I take the water of the sea and it's like oil on the skin. And then I walk inside and then I sink, and around me are like golden lights, and I just sink, and I'm healing. The body's healing, so really beautiful.
But you have that coming to you like this, or you had to learn those kind of meditations, or it just comes to you?
I guess I learned a bit to get the. I learned a bit in like kind of guided meditations. Where also my brother is a meditation teacher. Coach. Also my sister is very spiritual. So it's a bit of both. And then I just follow what it takes, like, you know, it takes maybe I have one image that is very strong and then I'm like, okay, come on, like I stay with the image. What's happening now? Come on, show me, you know, like
And then you can write.
Then I can write. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so you have to make it happen a little bit by sitting in meditation, or does it? I had a friend on another podcast saying it, she can feel it coming and then she needs to write, even though she planned to do something else, she needs to write.
Yeah, I don't have that. It's more about giving space to it, because I also think everything is here, you know. I just need to listen to what is coming. I think it's more that, like, okay, stop and open yourself, really open everything, let go, and then receive. And this starts from a melody to images and little movies. So.
Wow, it's amazing.
It's very beautiful. I mean, it's really hard to get there, no? I mean, I lose it very often, but I think if I'm there...
Yeah, it feels good.
It's super beautiful. Yeah, it's just amazing. And, you know, sometimes when I'm stressed, I just go, oh, I'm just going to go back to the sea, you know, where this image of this song. Yeah. You know.
That's what you would do for self-care?
I would do that. I go to the gym. That's really because I have a lot of back problems, so that helps me a lot. I love massage. So when I come back from a lot of, I don't know, some tours or something, that's really something that, okay, I'm just gonna lay and somebody's taking care of me.
Yeah.
But it's really good. And meditation, I don't do it too often.
Yeah.
I should do it much more. It would be great.
But when you do it, it's very efficient.
Very, very, very. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, would you consider that as work, even when you
when
that comes? Yeah, when that comes.
Work in terms of like personal work or like real work?
It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Real work, for the sake of the podcast, but.
It's part of the process, I would say, to be a writer and like a composer writer. It's part of it in a way, you know.
Or yeah. what is work for you?
Oof. My life is work, man.
yeah
feel work.
You.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's like all the time. I work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do enough breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I really have the urge to do the things. So I work for me is all my projects, and it's I know it's all over and all the time. It's hard for me to stop, but it's mm-hmm. also I'm really dedicated to the music. But there's work that makes me more happy and work mm-hmm. that doesn't make me so happy. So
like what?
I don't know, like...
Like singing makes you happy?
Singing makes me happy, of course. Like creating, producing, or like having an idea and try to figure out, like make it grow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Admin, not so happy.
Not so happy? Well, it's okay, you know, if I have the time. Yeah. I think not so happy is when I have 10 things that I should do now.
Yeah.
And the reality is that I have this, all these projects, and then it's like, okay, I have to release the albums, I have to make everything ready now, but on the same time I need to apply again for money for the Sujata sessions, and then it's all now, I should do everything now, and I can't. And then I find myself really like, also now I'm in a period where I don't do music, and it's like, yeah, I know I'm a singer, but I'm not a singer right now, you know. It's like I'm not doing music.
Mm-hmm. And that's frustrating.
That's super frustrating. Yeah. I don't like that at all. It's the same like to meditate for me in a way, you know, because it's, when I'm doing music, I open kind of a channel and then I'm like there, you know, I'm super happy. I don't need anything. But to get there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous, no? It shouldn't be like that. Yeah. You just do it.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me. Because then it's also about giving priority. So yeah. I think, no, I want to do the work before, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I find myself just on the computer.
Maybe, like, the things you get paid for.
Right? Yeah, also, yeah.
I find it, too, like, oh, I could write a blog article or a comedy piece, but, no, first I'm going to work for my job that pays me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a big problem, right? Mm. It's really...
It's a big problem, I agree.
Yeah, very big problem.
Working.
Holy shit. We need the bedingungslose Grundeinkommen, no? That we just get 3,000 a month and we can work.
This universal income, you know? There was a group in Basel that were really interested in it, and the Swiss voted against it a few years ago. Remember?
I cannot remember, yeah, but yeah, it was something too.
That everybody could get
exactly.
That
yeah.
Doesn't mean that you don't have to work at all, but
yeah.
A minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Swiss voted against it, and I think it's a pity.
It's true. Yeah, now I remember totally. Yeah.
Because for people like us,
great.
Who need a lot of time to channel
exactly,
right?
So I should have said yes, it's work definitely, no, to get paid. Yeah, absolutely. No, I really think it gives you a kind of a freedom because you like it's covered, no? Like your basic expenses are covered, and then you could really, I mean, you just could work a lot.
Yeah.
And 2,500? No, it was about 2,500 or 2,200.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's really like.
Yeah, it's what you need.
It's what you need.
Your insurance, your
exactly.
rent, the food that you get in Germany.
Exactly.
But yeah, but okay, so work is, a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's always interesting to ask that because well, a friend of mine once said, work is everything that I do that is not hanging out with my friends or my family or chilling. And then it was the first time I was like, oh, so even Instagramming, I could call it work.
That's totally work, of course. I mean, if it's not your personal life, if you don't... Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. If it would be for my personal life, I would not be on Instagram.
Yeah, me neither. Thank God, it's too hard. Yeah. No, this totally worked for me too.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting, I think, this perspective of, is work just giving you money? And because it could also give you money in the long term, what you do now, but it doesn't give it to you now, but later
or never,
maybe.
Or never, you know. But it's this is how we value the things, right? Like, is it, and that's a big problem that we face, because we think I'm only worth it if I get money in return for my work, and that's a big issue. That's something that I also had. I'm working a lot on this topic, you know, like, okay, what does it mean? Yeah. And also, like, really, like. That I'm doubting myself, you know, am I worth to do that? Even though I'm not paid, and my husband laughs about me all the time because I'm like, you know, maybe I change my job. Like every 3 months I have a little crisis. So either it's like I quit the teaching and I only want to be an artist, or it's the opposite, you know, I stop being an artist and I'm just teaching.
But we said before, you can be a wedding coach if you're quitting.
But I'm a wedding coach for the bride in crisis. That's very specific and important. You see, I will come up with this idea next time I have my crisis.
But it's normal, I think.
I guess.
I'm glad I hear other people say these things, because it makes me feel less crazy.
Oh my God, yeah, you're not crazy. Or at least as crazy as I am. So we're two crazy people and I'm good talking.
So what is success actually for you?
Now it's difficult to answer. We got that, okay. So success for me, it's there is success to the outside. I hear from you or also from other people that they are like, or people that I didn't see for a long time, like, hey, you're so successful, I see on Facebook this and this, and I'm like, what? You know, so there's the success on the outside, or what people think about you, and then there is this, like, are you satisfied with what you do, right? And as I mentioned before, with like, you know, with not having enough audience, for example, for my music, that I would love to have more or more shows and stuff. There is. That's kind of the red line now.
There's success for people, what they see from what you do, and there's success from your perspective.
From my perspective. So there's things that I still want to achieve, you know, a lot of them. And sometimes I only focus on the things I didn't achieve, and then I'm very unhappy. Yeah. And then there are these moments where I'm like, oh yeah, I did a lot. Yeah. I'm so happy about it. Yeah. And sometimes also the moments where you're so unhappy and you really want to, you're like, but I didn't achieve this and this and this. And then you have to be strong and go for it, you know. Happened to me a year ago. I remember like writing my biography for something, and I was like, not so cool, you know. And then I think I really worked hard last year, because then I was like, okay, I did my album, I did the change of the band, I did the Sijada sessions, and now I'm in a moment where I'm a bit proud. Also, I'm like, wow, I really did all this stuff, and it's really nice work. I have lovely people around me sharing with me all that, and that's really, really nice.
I think we all feel like that. Yeah. I also I have those moments usually with my partner, and I'm like, I suck, I didn't do anything. Yeah, but really, what did I do? Not like, really? Like, and you don't realize.
Yeah.
And then a few days later, when you're in a better mood, you're like,
I have a podcast. Yeah, no, yeah. I do this, I do that. Yeah. I mean,
I lived, you know?
Like, yeah, totally.
And then there is nothing really to achieve or to, you know, you also have that, or I have this very present on my mind, there is nothing to, what is success really, you know?
Like, you should not achieve it for
success, you should achieve it because you want it, because you're meant to do it, you know, exactly.
You like the whole process, you like to write, you like to perform it, all of it.
All of it, exactly. And then, just to create something, you know, create another world with
when
you feel it inside.
For people.
Yeah, exactly.
What else did I want to share or ask you? No, two things. What was your main discovery, or what did you learn most on your, in a sentence, simple, because I'm sure you learned so many things on your journey to self-employment, entrepreneurship, art, artistry.
Being an artist.
History teacher? No. Being an artist. What is the main thing you would say you learned?
That I learned.
About the process.
Just to do it.
Just to do it.
Like, be strong.
Yeah.
I think be strong.
Start.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Totally. And no, really, and be strong, you know, because I remember last year was this moment where I moved my studio. I had my studio in another neighborhood, so in Neubad. And then I moved to Kleinbad back because I live here. And it's a great studio that I'm having now, but I was like refurbishing the room. So I was painting all alone. It was a Saturday. I was covered in white, you know, when you kind of lose it, no? And there was this moment where I looked at myself and I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? You know? I mean, how crazy am I? I'm all alone doing this, you know? I have all this project and I don't know, but how do I allow myself to do that? You know, I really doubted myself. I was like, what the fuck? But of course, at the same time, I was really laughing about me because I was just on the edge of my energy.
Yeah.
And it was a really funny moment for me. Like, okay, wow, what you know, like stopping yourself for a second and like, okay, I'm doing all this just myself, you know?
And because you didn't ask anybody for help, or because...
Yeah, it's a bit of this, but also just doing it, you know? You know, there's these friends sometimes, or people I know, and they ask, like, how did you decide to be self-employed and all this stuff? And it was not a decision. It was a doing for me. It was a process also. Like, I just started in my bedroom, and then I had it in school. I mean, it's really small and everything, but... Yeah, and I just cannot imagine.
Little steps.
Yeah.
It was just like you needed to do that at that moment without thinking too much of the end goal.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah, just do it and be strong. Yeah, that's the point. I wanted to come back to this. Just be strong. Even if you doubt yourself, be strong and believe in what you do, you know. Just do it.
Cool. That was also my second question. What would you recommend your younger self, you know?
Oh yeah, I would be like, be much more brave, really go out and be more secure about myself, you know, like believe in yourself much more. Don't stay with people that are not good for you. Change, go out of situations that are not good for you.
Quicker.
Love yourself. Yeah, exactly. Love yourself much more. Take care of yourself, and if you don't, if you don't like the situation, go. There's a better one. Promise. You know, I really would tell me that one.
Nice. Yes. One more question has nothing to do with that. Or do you still get stage fright?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Especially when I do something new, where I have to, I don't know, because I work a lot of electronics, so there's many buttons to press in the right moment. And I really, you can really fuck it up. Huh?
Yeah.
And then I get nervous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So what do you do to...
Nothing. I just breathe and then I go there and do it. Yeah. No, not really. But there is not a ritual that I would do.
Yeah.
Or it's just like, okay, I'm scared. Oh, let's go. And you have to do it. No?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I try to kind of connect to myself, you know. Maybe I connect to this golden light that I saw in my body, like... Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, then you do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing all your journey, your struggles, the cool stuff, all your projects. It was really nice to hear. And just so people know, so you have this album coming out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The first single will be out in March.
Mm-hmm.
And then in September, like there's three singles to come mm-hmm. until September, and mm-hmm. in September it will be out. Mm-hmm. And I will have a Plattentafel, how do you call it in English? A release show mm-hmm. in Basel in October.
Okay, where?
Kaserne.
Yeah, cool.
So.
So there is that, and there is the YouTube channel.
Sijada sessions every month, a new video.
Mm-hmm. And other concerts in the summer or earlier?
Yeah, I'm having shows with Kalemi, but we're gonna play mm-hmm. in South Korea.
Okay.
So if you wanna come there, cool. I would be happy to see you. We also play in London in March and also in France in May.
Nice.
Let's see and what else will come. Yeah.
And we can take singing classes with you.
You can take singing classes with me. It's like sing out loud. Line music.ch or com, I don't know.
I'll put it
just
in
Google
there.
My yeah. name exactly.
And Instagram?
Instagram, it's also I'm there with the Sijada sessions and with Yasmin Agash.
Thank you. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me. It's really nice talking to you.
And see you later for a singing class.
Thank you for listening.